I'd like to introduce the shiur tonight with a story. The story is going to sound very familiar. And if you're not careful, you're going to think that you know the story. And therefore, you by accident might, I think the language is, space out, and you're going to miss it. So even if you think you know the story, I'm going to ask you to stay with it and listen to the whole story. With me?
Yeah.
Here we go. Once upon a time, there was a family that lived in Israel that had trouble, siblings. Many of the siblings hated one of the siblings. And because of that hatred, hard to believe, but they actually contemplated murdering one sibling. And they ended up not murdering him. But the story continued that this brother, who was almost murdered, was sent all the way to Egypt. And everywhere he went, he was phenomenally successful. And something happened with his boss's wife, trumped up charges, and he was sent to jail. And in the jail, he was placed in a cell with two officers, high, high officers of the king of Egypt. And in this cell, one night, these two officers have a dream. Each one of them has a dream. And when the morning came, these two officers were clearly agitated. They were clearly upset. But this brother who was in their jail cell was a slave, was a Jew. And he didn't feel that it was appropriate for him to engage these two officers in conversation. Not only that, but he had his own problems. He was in jail for no reason. He didn't do anything wrong. He was far away from his family. His brothers tried to kill him. He had his own problems. And so the two officers sat on one side of the cell, agitated. And this brother sat on the other side of the cell, not able or not willing to care about the two officers' problems. And the day went on, and a second day came, and a third day came, and finally, the third day, these two officers were taken out of jail. The brother never heard from them again. Turns out that one of them was returned to his original position, and the other one was killed, executed for some kind of crime of trying to hurt the king. Well, that was it. And the story continues 2 years later, where the king himself has a dream. And this dream, two dreams, and they agitated the king very, very much, and this king's advisors didn't know how to solve this dream, to explain this dream, to interpret this dream. And so they tried certain things, but nothing really worked for this king. And eventually the king sort of forgot about the dreams, and he especially forgot about the dreams because Egypt experienced the 7 most economically prosperous years that Egypt had ever known, the region had ever known. It was time for spending. It was time for enjoying. No reason to worry about the future, because this kind of economic boom would last forever, And so they spent and spent, and nobody saved. And surprisingly, the snap of fingers, 7 years later, without any warning, and no one knew about this. No one knew this was going to happen. 7 years later, the economy fell apart. And all the years of plenty went down the drain. They became so poor, so impoverished. Nothing was saved. Nothing was planned ahead. The Egypt completely fell apart. People were dying by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. Going back to the family that I mentioned in the beginning, in Eretz Canaan, there's a famine throughout the whole land and nobody was prepared for it. And this family that began with such promise, this family that was around to teach the world about God and Torah, they had no food and they had no money. And the family started dispersing and the brothers started moving around the land looking for food. They couldn't find any. And one by one by one, these brothers died and their wives died and their children died and their cattle died and the patriarch of the family died. And with their deaths, the Jewish people died with them. The idea of one God died with them. The idea of Torah, monotheism, serving God, died with them. And today, the only remnant of that once great Jewish family that had so much promise to become a Jewish people, to teach the world, to be an Or LaGoyim, this died with them. The only remnant of this once great family, if you go on Wikipedia and you look up Jacob, or you look up Jewish, or you look up Judaism, you'll see a very, very short entry. There once was a great family, 70 people, but they withered in the great famine of 3,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago, closer to maybe 4,000 years ago. They all died, and that once great idea of believing in one God is no longer, and today there is not a single Jew living, and the entire world is pagan and polytheistic. Is that the story that you expected me to tell you? No. It sounded familiar. Didn't it sound familiar? Those of you who were focusing know that the story started very similar to what you and I are familiar in this week's Parsha. But something happened. And I'd like to share with you today an idea that I heard. It's not my own. The original idea I heard from a great educator by the name of Rabbi Joel Cohn. I worked with him. I had the blessing to work with him for 3 years. And he said this idea, and I'm just standing on his shoulders. Everything I told you is true. Everything I told you, I should say, could have been true. But I want to share with you the four words that changed world history. I want to share with you the four words that changed Jewish history. The four words that changed human history. Now, obviously, I'm speaking b'derech hateva. God would have made sure that my story would have never come true. But I do want to share with you the four words that b'derech hateva changed world history. I'd like to start the story the same way I started. And when we get to those four words, we'll share those four words and then move on. Yaakov, Yosef, the brothers. Yosef is hated by the brothers. Yosef almost murdered. Yosef is sent to Mitzrayim. All in this week's Parsha. Yosef is popular, successful. He has a run-in with the wife of Potiphar. Sound familiar? We know the story. He then goes to jail. He's sent to jail. And he sits in jail with the Sar HaMashkim. You'll see the top of the top of your source sheets. Vayhi achar advarim ha'ile chat'u mashke melech Mitzrayim v'ha'ofe la'adonayhem le'melech Mitzrayim. And the story continues. Paro's upset at them. He's upset at the Sar HaMashkim. He's upset at the Sar HaOfim. And they are placed, Pasuk Gimel, in jail with Yosef. And Pasuk Hey, they both have a dream. And Pasuk Vav, Yosef in the morning wakes up and he realizes Vayarotam v'hinei zawafim. They're angry, they're upset, they're agitated, they're anxious. And what could have happened, and maybe as the Ramban says in the next source down, what should have happened is that little Yosef, look at the Ramban, Haya ra'ui sheyomar hakatuv vayish'al otam lemor. The Pasuk in Pasuk Zayin should have said Vayishal Otam Lemor. But why does it say Vayishal Etzri Se Paro Asheri Toba Mishmar Beit Adonav? Why does it say that? Says the Ramban. Aval He'erich, the Torah lengthened its description of who Yosef was talking to, because He'erich Ki Ratza Lesaper B'Shevach Yosef. This is praiseworthy. Shayad Na'ar, he was young, Eved, a slave, Visha'al Lishnei Sarim Gedolim, he had the chutzpah to talk to two of the highest Sarim in Paro's court, Vehem Beveit Adonav Asher Saneoto, and all they had to do once, when he talks to them, they could have said, off with your head, they were still officers, they could have killed him. That story should have been the story. But here are the four words. The story that I told you is that they were sitting in their corner and Yosef was too low. He felt too low. He felt too much of a foreigner. Yosef didn't care. And so the story I told you is that he never spoke to them. 3 days later, one gets promoted, one gets executed. 2 years later, Paro has two dreams, and there's nobody to solve these dreams. Nobody ever heard of this Yosef who dies in jail, penniless and ashamed and hungry. No one ever heard of this guy because the following four words, theoretically, never happened. Here we go. Pasuk Zayin. Vayishal etzri sei faro asher ito b'mishmar beit adonav lemor. And here are the four words. Madua pneichem ra'im hayom. What's the matter? You look upset. And that changes the whole story. He shouldn't have asked. He didn't have to care about these strangers. According to the Ramban, he took his own life into his own hand. He could have been his own. He had his own problems. And he had his own real problems. And nobody would have been upset at Yosef if he would have said, I got my own problems. You think you've got problems? I've got problems. My father sent me to go get killed. My brothers tried to kill me. I was sent here and sent there. I was successful in Egypt. And next thing I know, I'm sitting here with you. Stop bothering me. Sit on your side of the room. Sit on your side of the dorm room. I'll sit on my side and we'll do our own thing. And the Jewish people, B'derech HaTeva, would have ceased to exist. And yet, four words. Madua pneichem ra'im hayom. How are you? What's the matter? Something's bothering you. It's clear that something's bothering you. And the rest, as they say, is history. The rest is, let me tell you the problem. I think I know the answer, says Yosef. It comes true 2 years later. It comes true, period. 2 years later, it's the next week's parasha already. Paro has a problem. Oh yeah! Sarah Mashkim remembers that Chata'ay ani mazkir ayom. Remembering last week's parsha, said to Sarah Mashkim, I was sitting with this guy, take him out. He gets shaven, he gets showered, he comes out. Paro loves him. Egypt is rich, but knows that something bad is coming. They put money away. Later, when Yaakov has a problem, Shamate Chiyei Shever Mitzrayim, it's time to go to Mitzrayim. Jews go down to Mitzrayim. They flourish. They come down with 70 people. They leave with 600,000 or 2 million. They get the Torah, Midbar, Israel, and you and I are sitting here today. That's Jewish history in 60 seconds. Bederech HaTeva, of course, Hashem could do whatever he wants. But Baderech HaTeva, these four words changed the course of human history because Madua Pneichem Ra'im Hayom. Everybody knows the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Mishnah Tetvav, Have Mekabel Et Kol Ha'adam B'Sever Panim Yafot. Just asking, how are you doing? Your face, say the Bali Musar, is Reshut HaRabim. And to go over and say hello and how are you this morning after Shul. It happened this morning. I couldn't make it up. This morning after davening, a man came over to me and said that his relative, I won't go into any details, his relative visited, she's applying to Shalvim for Women and to a few other seminaries, and he said she came and she sat in and he told me a couple of shiurim that his relative loved about this and that, and then she said one of the things that struck her about Shalvim for Women is that all the girls gave her a smile. This morning it happened. All the girls gave her a smile, all the girls said hello, and all the girls offered her a seat when she sat in on the shiurim. Sound familiar? You were there. You did it. Heve mekabel et kol adam b'sefer panim. Changes people's lives. Look at the Gemara in Masechet Ketuvot. It's all the way at the end of the Gemara, Kuf Yud, close to the end. Kuf Yud Aleph. Tov hamalbin shinaim l'chaveiro. It is more important, it is more valuable to help somebody, to show somebody the whites of your teeth, otherwise known as smiling. Yoter mimashkeyu chalav. It is greater than giving them fancy schmancy food. And says Avot de Rabbi Natan in Nuscha Aleph Perek Yud Gimel Vahave mekabel et kol adam b'sever panim yafot keitzad milamei che'im natan adam l'chaveiro kol matanot tovot shebaolam. A person, if they gave all the presents in the world, money and jewelry, upanav kavushim ba'aretz, but their face is, so to speak, stuck in the ground. Ma'ale alav akatuv ki'ilu lo natan lo klum, says Avot Rabbi Natan, it's as if you didn't give them anything. Aval hamekabel et chaveiro b'sever panim yafot, afilu lo natan lo klum. This is true about your roommate. This is true about your husband, future husband, Yemetz Hashem, and your future children, God willing, that God will bless you with. Sever panim, it's with your roommate, and with your chavruta, and with your parents, and with your siblings, and with the tamir, and with brachel. Doesn't cost a penny, but it's worth $1 million. Or you can spend $1 million and it's not even worth a penny. Sever panim yafot. The Gemara in Masechet Ta'ani Daf Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, I'm not going to read it inside, but the Gemara is right there. The Gemara there discusses Eliyahu Anavi in Masechet Ta'anit, I said, the bottom of the page. The Gemara describes a story in Masechet Ta'anit with Rabbi Broka, who meets Eliyahu Anavi, and he's in the marketplace, and he wants to know who here is Zoche Leolam Haba. And the first answer Eliyahu Anavi gives Is this man who was a jail keeper, a warden in the local jail, and that whenever he found Jewish men and Jewish women, he would separate them so they wouldn't have to sleep in the same room, and chas v'shalom, people make them do things, and that's a ben olam haba. And then the Gemara says that two more people came into the shuk. It's the Gemara right in front of you. And Eliyahu HaNavi says, those two people, they're also b'nei olam haba. And the Gemara says, he ran over. Rabbi Broca wants to know, what are you? Are you great Rabbanim? Are you great Talmidei Chachamim? Are you great Baalei Tzedaka? And the two people said, it's in the middle of the Gemara that I quoted, Amru Lei Inshe Baducha Anan. Baducha is the Hebrew word. Bidicha, what does that mean? We tell jokes. Inshe Baducha Anan. Mavdechinan atzivi. We make people who are sad, we cheer them up. We're jesters. And the Gemara continues that if we see two people fighting, we come over and we make light. And they, of the entire people in the shuk, they are b'nei olam haba, because madua p'neichem ra'im hayom. I care about you. I'm not your best friend, but I see that something's bothering you. Madua pneichem ra'im hayom. A smile is worth all the money in the world. A helping hand, just a quick how are you, is the greatest kiddush Hashem that you can do. And our own Gemara teaches us, and our own Parsha teaches us, the four words. And you can change someone's life with Madua pneichem ra'im hayom. It's a message that we all know, but it's a message that cannot stay in your notes. It can't stay in your notes from a sheer klali on a Sunday evening. It has to be translated outside, out there. If Torah and Derech Eretz and Sefer Panim Yafot and Hamalbim Panav, I'm sorry, Hamalbim Shinaim, if that's not brought out to your roommates and to your classmates and to people and to a taxi driver and to a shomer, and it stays in your notes, then that's not what happened. Yosef knew this Gemara, knew the Mishnah, but he brought it to those people. And I want to share a story with you. It's a little bit uncomfortable to share, but I think it's an important story to share. It happened to me. It happened in January of 2010. I was traveling to Chutz Laaretz in January 2010, and my journey that January brought me also to Canada. And I met with some wonderful young ladies who were thinking about coming to Shalvim for Women. And I had to get back to New York still that night. And so I spoke to some parents, I spoke to some girls, and I was booked on what I understood was the last flight out of Toronto, Pearson International. Pearson International, Air Canada. And I get there on time, and I go to the ticket counter, whatever it is, I go get my boarding pass, security, go through security, get to the gate, get on the plane. And that's, then you can relax a little bit. I have a travel Gemara that I took out, start learning, and I didn't pay so much attention, but I realized that the plane is not taking off, and not taking off, and not taking off. But it's okay, it's not my problem. I've got other things to think about. And they got on the loudspeaker every once in a while. Passengers, we have a little technical delay. We'll let you know what the story is. And then I don't know how long it took, half an hour, 45 minutes, and finally the pilot got on and said that the fuel cap was frozen, it's Canada, was frozen to the plane, and they couldn't open the fuel cap without breaking it. And they couldn't put fuel into the plane, so we're not taking off. But, come right out of the plane, line up at the gate, and get a boarding pass for the next flight out. Next flight out? All right, not the end of the world. So I'd rather, you know, take off on a plane that actually takes off than a plane that doesn't have any fuel, you know. I'd rather be late than the late, you know what I'm saying? So, fine. That's an important distinction. What one word, you know. Anyway, so I had been sitting sort of up front, so by the time I got up, I was like the sixth person standing at the gate, at the, you know, back to get a new boarding pass for a new flight. And the people ahead of me were talking. I still remember the woman who was at the counter, and they were letting her have it. They were yelling at her. There was a rumor that had gone around that the new plane was smaller than the old plane and not everyone's gonna get on, and they're yelling at her, and how come they can't get the fuel cap off, and using language that perhaps you, not perhaps, that you for sure would not use, and cursing at her as if she was in charge of the weather in Toronto, and really getting her upset. And I could see that she was flustered. And I got up there, it was my turn, and I said something like, I didn't know that you were in charge of the weather. Do you have God's number? Dial. I said, I'm not that funny, but it was also really late at night. And I said something like, let me call God. Is it dial 1-800-GOD or dial 1-800 call God? Oh, something like that. And that was probably me laughing. She was looking at me weird. And I said, everyone's yelling at you as if it's your fault. It's going to be fine. It'll be fine. And she said, oh, thank you, whatever it is. And she gives me my boarding pass. Oh, yeah, she gave me a voucher that I could use in the airport. It was like $20. So not bad. I was win-win over here. So I do remember that I tried to buy a book, and they said, no, you can only buy it in a restaurant. So there are no kosher restaurants in Pearson yet. So I did buy potato chips. That was a nice dinner. It was a vegetable. And the beverage was the oil. But I'm fine because I'm waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And I'm somewhere and I'm sitting down and all of a sudden there's a loudspeaker announcement. And the announcement went like this. Air Canada passenger Yamin Goldsmith. I'm always called that. I'm used to that. Air Canada passenger Yamin Goldsmith, please come to customer service. And if my life had a soundtrack, it would go, da 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 da. And I thought at that moment that I was going to have to pay rent to the airport, sleep over, you know, like this on a chair. And because you don't want to be called to customer service. At that time, I had 3 carry-ons. I had one that I dragged, and 2 bags under my eyes. And then it was just, I was like, and they only allow 1, so I don't know what they're gonna do. And I was the hunchback of Toronto walking. I'm exaggerating maybe slightly, but since there was a soundtrack and someone was playing a sad violin behind me, it was okay. And as I was walking, people were laughing at me. They were not. I was just joking. Anyway, but I really like, I'm not exaggerating that this was not good. And I knew that this was not good. And I was in my mind thinking, like, could I go to someone's house and sleep? And if a plane is, and there's also, you can't fly all night, I don't think. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I said, Yamin Goldsmith. And I pull all my bags over and I wait in line. And, you know, it's finally my turn. I'm going to finish in 2 minutes. It may have been my imagination, but the woman behind the counter of customer service, I think, was wearing an executioner's mask. I'm pretty sure she had a big axe. And it's my turn, and I come over, and I go, I was called. So she takes my boarding pass, and she goes, 1 second, please. And she starts clicking on the computer. It felt like it took about 10 hours of her slowly figuring out how to kill me slowly. Like, what's the, she waits and waits. And then she said the 2 words which you never want to hear from customer service or your dentist. And she goes, uh-huh. Oh, no. Then she gets on her walkie-talkie. And she goes, Tish, that was the real name. I still remember that name. Tish, dial 486. Tish, dial 486. The 486 I made up. I don't remember what number she said, but Tish I remember. Okay. So I'm waiting, you know, thinking, I really, my mind was wandering, and always to bad things. And she went on again, Tish, dial 486 on her walkie-talkie. And then Tish walks by. And it was the woman from the counter that everyone was cursing at. And she goes, oh, Tish. And I say, oh, Tish. Tish, come on. And she goes, and the lady behind the counter says something like, she goes, and I say, hi. I really did say, I said, hi. Hi. Tish, you gave him an A1? Which I think means you really want to bury him underground somewhere. Let him sleep over for the next few days. She goes, you gave him an A1? And Tish goes, yeah. So Tish goes, no, not Tish. The other lady goes, you know that there are, what are those called? Not frequent flyers, but like preferred customers. That's what it was. She goes, you know there are preferred customers, preferred flyers or something. And Tish goes, yeah, yeah. Okay. So the woman behind the counter takes my boarding pass and my heart at the same time and ripped them up. Both of them at the same time. Ah! And I really didn't even have a chance to respond because she handed me a new boarding pass. And I go, what's this? And the lady behind the counter goes, you're in first class. It was 1A, not A1. 1A, seat 1A. And I, in 1 second, Yosef comes out of jail like that. I didn't shave, but you know. I go, and I turn to Tish. I go, Tish. I said, Tish, why? And Tish goes, because you were nice to me at the counter. Aww. Isn't that so? I was speechless. I had never been in first class in my life. I was 1A. I couldn't even reach the panel ahead in front of me. That's how much I didn't need that room. And I said, it was such a nice thing. I said, Tish, thank you so much. And she goes, thank you. And that was it. That's the story. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's such a beautiful story. And I didn't do anything. I didn't give her anything. I didn't buy her flowers. I just said, dial 1-800-CALL-GOD. That's all I said. I said, are you in charge of the weather? I didn't know you were in charge. That's all I said. And she was having a hard day. I thought I was having a hard day. She gets to go home. She was having a hard day. And one person, I'm sure there were others, but one person to say, how are you? Madua pnechem ra'im hayom. And she decided, isn't that a beautiful thing? It's a beautiful thing. And we could all do that. Ladies, we can put our papers down and leave and change Jewish history. Have an amazing day, everyone.